to the Rugby Pass podcast. We're leading into the deciding test match between the British and Irish Lions and the All Blacks. And what a pleasure to have All Black centurion Mills Mulyaina on the Pass podcast today. Millsy, reports out of the All Black camp this morning that there's been a few dust-ups this week, a few punches flying at training. Have you ever been involved in an All Black setup where the fists have flown on the training park?
Well, shucks, it's actually quite good to hear, Sumo, and great to be on this podcast for the very first time. I don't think I've been directly involved in any sort of scraps. It's more likely the forwards, but I didn't really see too many in the days. There's always sort of a little bit of niggle, but I suppose given what's happened over the last week or so, I think, you know, there'll be tensions will be definitely pretty high after the game last weekend.
This team is always talking about staying in the blue, not getting in the red. And I understand that when the whistle goes and the game's in action, that's where that comes to fruition. But conversely, should the All Blacks be concerned if they're a little bit too high-strung at the moment, if they're starting to feel the pressure of this week?
Oh, no, I don't think so. I don't think it's anything to do with pressure. I just think guys are on edge. They're wanting to get out there and... you know, although there might be a few sort of fisticuffs at training, it certainly wouldn't reflect the mental side of the game that they're actually preparing for. So I think it's a good thing. I think it sort of shows their willingness to get back out there and that they actually, you know, want to, you know, amend some of the things they did wrong last week. And obviously that comes down to physicality. And if guys are in the wrong spot, well, they're going to get sort of dealt to. So, you know, I think it sort of pays, you know, it's paving a really nice sort of setup for the weekend.
Conversely, the Lions have been in Queenstown, bungee jumping, jet boat riding, supping on a couple of lagers, training on a beautiful field under the Remarkables. Do you think a masterstroke from Warren Gatland, a man you know very well, to get the team away from the clamour of the media, the big city of Auckland, just to go and decompress perhaps before this test? Does that just show that he's really thought long and hard about what this tour means and what's at stake?
Oh, I definitely think he has thought about this a lot, and from what I have heard, it was always pre-planned. They were always going to do this regardless of where the result sort of was at. So I think it's a good thing. It's a chance for the guys to get out and relax a little bit, because it has been a pretty intense tour. And some guys probably need to let their hair down a little bit and also given the physicality of it all, you know, the 10 or so weeks they've been here. Is that how long they've been here? So I think
it feels that, mate. It feels that way.
Probably isn't that. But just to give the guys a bit of a break, you know. But, you know, on the flip side of that, you know, what does that do? Because, you know, the last thing you want to be doing rolling into this last decisive game is, you know, letting your standards slip and the momentum. You know, if you've had a couple of days off, it takes a wee bit longer to get yourself back into the swing of things. And so, you know, yes, it can be a good idea, but it also can, you know, work against you if you don't get it right.
Here's what we do know about the second test. The Lions win the game by 3 points. The All Blacks were reduced to 14 men, but one area of the game in particular, and we spoke about this alongside Stevie Bates a couple of weeks ago, was the ability of the All Blacks to make the gain line, to make the advantage line. It's the way they play the game. It gives them their ruck ball. It gives them all their opportunities to attack. Last week, the Lions would say, and rightly so, that it was them who won the gain line. Sam Warburton in particular, just dominating around that area. It's very rare you see the All Blacks go to phase play and not be able to bend the line. Is that exactly the game plan they'll bring into the third test?
You'd think so. I definitely think that, you know, physicality around the sort of breakdown area, you know, getting momentum over the gain line, that's part and parcel of actually playing. So regardless of any game you play, you've got to win that battle. Okay, we're down 14 men, and perhaps, you know, a big guy like Jerome, you know, Kano coming off probably influenced that a little bit, you know, because the last thing you want to be doing as a big forward when you see a guy like that is actually run down that channel. Now, what sort of disappointed me with the All Blacks was the fact that, you know, they did get up into a bit of a lead, but they kind of went into their shells not actually knowing how to play this game, or the game that sort of was unfolding in front of them. So they actually, you know, because they kicked a lot more, it sort of, and they were down in one man. And so once they got up a little bit, they sort of thought that was just going to be the way to sort of, you know, finish the game off, whereas the Lions are actually chasing, you know, chasing with an extra man. So which, you know, enabled them to win that sort of battle around the corner, around the rucks, and all of a sudden, you know, the All Blacks are on the back foot without a, a clue as to what to actually do, and the kicking game wasn't the way to go because they're a man down. So that was probably one disappointment for me. But I think going into this game, you know, as long as you don't get, you know, a 14-15, and they were down 14 men for a long period of time, you know, and if it doesn't get to that sort of stage, then I think you're going to get a massive battle around the sort of fringes of the game, of the rucks.
Well, it's been discussed during the week, but I mean, I think a lot of people were shaking their heads thinking Jerome Kano is the guy you're going to bring off at a time like that. I think we saw the flow-on effect that they just couldn't get their pods working without his threat running in that wide channel for the All Blacks. But by the same token, could you see what they were trying to do by keeping it even in the back line, making sure there wasn't an opportunity for the Lions? It was a one or the other situation. It was an all-in play for Steve Hansen. In hindsight, would you have made that same decision again?
Oh, look, I think so. I think it was the right decision to make. You know, they held their own in the scrums and whatnot. So to take a lock or something like that, you know, you're going to lose a little bit of sort of height in the lineouts. You know, taking a Lucy, who do you take off? You know, you're not going to take your captain off. Sam Kane, he's been really good over the ball. And so, yes, you're going to lose a little bit of dominance in terms of physicality around tackling and ball carrying. But, you know, you'd hope that you've got a lot of that in your locks, and you know, Retallix and your front row, you know, you hope that you don't lose too much. So in hindsight, I think you'd do that again. You shore up your back line. I think it was the perfect move to bring Lomapi on. Unfortunately, you know, as you say, when you're going to hit rucks and you're not winning that battle of the game line, all of a sudden you're sending an extra man that you're already down on, you know, and so before you know it, your running game's gone out the window. And when your running game's gone out the window, what do you revert to? You got to kick. When you kick, you're another man down. And so, you know, in order to be able to kick, you've got to kick in the right places, because if you're one man down chasing those kicks, they can just punish you. And so that, to me, sort of was the, you know, probably reflected on how the All Blacks played, the ability to, you know, they were a little bit shocked about how they're going to play. They didn't quite know whether they should play a kicking game. They didn't end up winning the battle of the game line, and all of a sudden they weren't quite sure how they're actually going to expose the Lions, whereas the Lions, they just keep playing the way they've been playing over the last couple of weeks. So which I think, you know, after a few days to digest this, I think the All Blacks would have seen there was, you know, a lot of opportunities, particularly in the running game, that they didn't actually try and expose. But given the fact that he sort of didn't know what to do, you know, probably hindered them a little bit.
It's Test Week on the Rugby Pass podcast with Sumo and Mills, and I guess that leads us nicely into selections for the week. We'll leave the Lions for a second and look at the All Blacks, Millsy. Geordie Barrett, he's had 20 minutes of Test football. He goes straight into the starting fullback role. I can't help but thinking last week the All Blacks missed having at least two kicking options in their backfield. Israel Dagg was there on his own, really, as the noted punter. Rico Ioane, not known for his kicking game. Waisaki Naholo, certainly not known for his kicking game. Dagg moves out to right wing. Geordie Barrett comes in. I guess, in some ways, by default, they need a fullback in there and they need two kickers. Is the Geordie Barrett call the push of the panic button for the All Blacks, or something they must have been thinking about for a long time?
No, I think, I don't know whether it wouldn't have been a panic call. I think it's probably the right decision. You know, I think Savia coming back into the fold was an excellent call. You know, I think he'll be eager to get back out there. Geordie, what he brings is his ability to be able to climb in the air. You know, you've seen the times that the Lions did kick and they kicked to compete, you know, and we'd lost those moments, you know, a couple of times, you know, especially after we'd just scored, they'd come back to kick off and, you know, obviously Izzy was there, he's been, under the high ball, they lost that moment, and all of a sudden, you know, the Lions are back in the game, they got three points out of that. So his ability to be able to, you know, he's a tall man, he can climb, he can get in the air, also be able to kick. So now you've got three kicking options at the back there. If they wanted to expose the Lions in some sort of way, you've got, you know, your Barrett, you know, Izzy Dagg can kick and kick very well. And now you've got, you know, Geordie. And also defensively, you know, he's tough on defence. You've seen him tackle throughout the Super Rugby. So he's willing to put his body on the line. So I think it's a good mix. I think they've obviously seen a few things that they can exploit, you know, from last weekend. And also, I think it just sort of it gives them a little bit more stability around that kicking area, like you say, if they get themselves into trouble. Because we all know, if the likes of Sexton and Farrell and also Connor Murray, they kick very well. And so, if these guys are getting themselves into trouble, I'm talking the All Blacks here, you know, you've got three, you know, very good kickers that can sort of kick return and make them punish for it.
You know, earlier on in the year, we were analysing the Hurricanes' kicking plan and therefore their counter-attack setup. Do you see Beauden Barrett dropping back into the pocket now and being more comfortable to do that rather than chasing his own kicks and having Geordie Barrett and Beauden Barrett together in the backfield ready to launch a counter-attack, especially with Laumape in the team? And we'll talk specifically about him, but it's a combination that's worked so well, especially with Jules, who can then rush up on the outside in defence and leave Beauden back.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it might be something they'll go to. I think, you know, when you're coming out of your own line, and you know, particularly in your own half, really, and you're sort of kicking, you know, the 10, you know, generally drops back. You know, in the Hurricanes now, they've sort of used that a heck of a lot because Bowden's just so good on the counter attack, and he can also, you know, find sort of some magnificent touches. So I think they will possibly go to that. The combination of Anton Leonard-Brown and Laumape will be interesting on defence. You know, they probably they haven't sort of played together apart from last week. So if you're going to do that, you know, you've got to make sure that line's decent. You know, having Savia there and obviously Izzy to chase that line to put some pressure on so the kick return isn't, you know, for the Lions, from the Lions' point of view, isn't as good, would be great. But I think in order to be able to expose the Lions and get Bodie back there after a kick, you know, your kick chase has got to be good. So I'm hoping that they do a little bit of that. I think the weather's going to play a big part because I think it's going to rain again. But, you know, as you've seen over the last sort of couple of weeks, I think, you know, variation in the kicks. I think the kicks to you know, the cross kicks to get them into hands. They did that early in the second test. I think you might possibly see a little bit more of that, and certainly with Geordie being in there, you might see it from the second man as opposed to the to Beauden, which we've seen, you know, the Hurricanes do very effectively.
Well, let's talk about the selection of Ngane Laumape. They called in Malachi Fekitoa, who had partnered up with Anton Leonard-Brown in that test match against Ireland back in November in Dublin, which was the revenge test in some ways for the All Blacks after being defeated in Chicago. Firstly, let's just talk about the 12 position and how tough it is, because Laumape twice in that second test had a misread on defence. And you can't lay the blame on a first test All Black, but ultimately it's a tough position to defend. And firstly, before we get onto him specifically, what makes the 12 position so tough from a defensive point of view?
Oh, look, 12 and 13, you know, and people don't actually realise how hard it is for them to defensively. You know, they've got to work the hardest. You know, they've got to shore up both sides of the ruck to make sure the numbers are absolutely fine. So in terms of defence, because you have the probably connection between the forwards and the backs, because, you know, 10, you know, doesn't tend to connect as well, you know, they've got to be talking a heck of a lot. And so I haven't seen what Laumape is like on, you know, in terms of his, in terms of talking and things like that, and organisation. And that's perhaps what people don't actually realise. It's more organising the forwards. You know, if it's a middle ruck, you know, how many forwards have you got there to set up your heart defence? If they're short on one side, you've got to now work hard to get back on the blind side and cover that. So,
and that's what Martin Onu grew into, a great communicator in number 12. A lot of people gave Conrad Smith all the credit for organising defensively, but Maher would go 80 minutes and not shut up. And Ngane Laumape, there's no way he's going to have that voice in his second test match for the All Blacks.
No, you'd hope so, but, you know, he was actually chucked into the deep end last week, and, you know, he made a couple of, you know, costly sort of decision-making, you know, lapses on defence, which probably cost us a try at least. But you're right, you know, Martin Onu, you know, he grew into that role. You know, sometimes even just, you know, a forward to hear, you know, a back say his name, you know, gives them reassurance that they can just go there, and even though they just slot there, and all of a sudden they feel comfortable. Now, that comes with a bit of experience. It comes with someone that's been there and done that and seen that. And so, you know, Laumape will grow into that role.
He's got to grow into it real quick.
He has to, because this is the decider. This, you know, you don't get another chance for another 12 years. And so, I think that's what, you know, people have got to realise, that you know, defensively you've got to organise, because you're the closest guy in there. You've got to organise the backs and the forwards, and whilst also connecting with your outsides. And that's a big job. It's a big job for a man in a second test. So I'm hopeful that they don't have to defend too much. But hopefully I've sort of explained, you know, the difficulties of playing 12, which is why I definitely didn't play there, mate.
Well, I mean, let's focus on some of the positives, though. When he got ball on hand and he was flat on the line, he was making inroads. Do you see them going back to the style they engaged with in the first test and using Laumape as a first-phase ball runner?
Oh, look, they need to. And I think they've got to be a little bit smarter with the way they do it. That channel with Farrell and Sexton is vulnerable, and you've seen that a couple of times in the second test that they will get over the gain line. What they need to try and do is isolate a couple of those players, and rather than getting Connor Murray or O'Brien at the same time, they need to try and that's the work of the guys off the ball. They need to be able to manipulate those guys so you end up in a one-on-one situation where Lomapi can have a little go. He'll get over the gain line regardless of whether he's got two or three guys on him. But what you want to do is being able to get him over the gain line and score tries by having sort of a one-on-one situation with either Farrell or Sexton. And then once you do that, I've forgotten his name, the centre that's...
That's right, Jonathan Davis.
Davis, I was going to say Roberts.
You're showing your age there, Millsy.
Yeah, a little bit, mate. So, now then he has to come and shore up, And so once then when that happens, then hopefully you'll be able to manipulate the outsides. And so that's what I'm hoping for. Lomapi will get us over the gain line. What the All Blacks need to do is isolate those two players. And if they do that, we'll be effective.
We mentioned his name at the top of the Rugby Pass podcast this week, but Sam Warburton last week was amazing. In fact, we were looking through one period of play on our show, Team Talk, and he was involved five times.
Yeah.
Five consecutive involvements in phase play. The All Blacks trying to grind over the gain line. They never made it, and then he got the strip on his fifth involvement. It's a masterclass in work rate. That's what they needed to show between the first and second test. Warburton's, if he can perform like that again in the third, does he go some way to ensuring the Lions are a real chance to win this series?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I think, we've spoken about this on Team Talk. We've said, when we've analysed, he's the guy that he doesn't get much TV time, but, the things he does, out of the screen are immense. And so all of a sudden now in the test number two, he's doing everything in front of the cameras and off the ball as well. And so that's the experience he brings. That's why Getz has made him the captain. Yeah, that's, he's a guy that's, he's been under a little bit of an injury cloud coming into the Lions series. He's tried to play majority of the game. All of a sudden, pulled up a little calf injury, but the way he played against the All Blacks in Test 2, he needs to do that again. And if he does it the way he did in Wellington and some, then I think it'll go a long way into making sure the Lions do come out with a win.
You've been in some tough spots before in your All Black career, Millsy, when you were playing the game. What is it like being in the All Blacks after a loss? What kind of mood is there in the camp? What do they focus on after going down in a test match?
Yeah, I mean, you're right, Sumo. Yeah, you got to make sure you come in, on a Monday. Yeah, the emotions, it's a highly emotional time because you're thinking, man, we lost. Sometimes you don't actually think about the points you need to work on, and you think, okay, and you got to be careful not to bring too much emotion, during the week. Yes, we've lost, but let's focus on the here and now and the things you need to try and perfect to make sure it doesn't happen on Saturday. So I think that's what they'll be focusing on. Look at the tapes, see that there's certain areas that you do want to work on and sort of simplify them. Don't get, I think that's what, when after a loss, you tend to come in and you think of all these things that you've done wrong. Okay, well, what do you actually focus on? The problem that you don't want is to go into the game focusing on all these 10 to 20 different areas. Let's nail them down to the three or four different things. Obviously, physicality. They've had a little bit of a scuffle at training. The kicking game, focus on little wee things that they can get right. And you've heard them during the week. You've heard, Guzler and Nugget Aaron Smith, come out and say, look, there were plenty of opportunities. We didn't actually execute that stuff. We've seen it now, and now we'll focus on a few of those opportunities and we'll go into game, to try and perfect it. So that's what I think that they've done, whilst also, keeping cool. Because the other element also is the fact that, once you've finished training, you've got to get away from it. You can't spend the whole entire week sort of building yourself up for this game because, by the time it gets to game day, you'd be totally flat. So there's, work when it's time to work, but when it's time to relax, get away from it because certainly you're going to need that energy come Saturday.
We're all trying to be charitable here because we love this series and we love what the Lions bring and they deserve credit for winning that second test match. But the reality is, the All Blacks had 14 players for 55 minutes of the game and the Lions could only muster a three-point victory. Now, I don't think it's showing any disrespect to the Lions by saying things will be different at Eden Park. and they should be different. But it was funny, I was driving into the studio the other day and I thought to myself, actually, for the first time since that second test, it's dawning on me that the Lions are a real chance here. Mm. We are so used to seeing the All Blacks bounce back. In fact, under Steve Hansen, they have never lost after a draw or a loss. They've always come back to victory with an average scoreline of 43-17. I mean, it's quite a bounce back factor that he's brought to this team. But I can't shake the feeling that this is going to be closer than I think even the most pessimistic All Black fan thinks.
Yeah, and I think you're right. And I think a lot of us Kiwis are on edge because we've seen the way the Lions have played. You know, they've obviously come out, you know, of, you know, the test in Wellington, you know, even though we're 14 men down, but the stuff that they did do.
Yeah, they did well.
They did really well. And it's probably what we used to doing, you know, really well. And so that's what they've actually gone in and sort of hammered. And so that's probably what's got us on edge, is the fact that, oh, you know, this is the stuff the All Blacks should be doing, but the Lions have actually done it. You know, our bench was very disappointing in the weekend, which has been a luxury for us. You know, a couple of the guys that have come off the bench, you know, made some very basic errors that sort of cost us. So it's good. I think it's good. It keeps Kiwis on edge, and it's funny. You know, I was in Wellington, and you know, pre-game, everyone was saying, you know, it'd be awesome to go into, you know, test number three having, you know, won all. You know, everyone was happy to go into, you know, to Eden Park, you know, as being the decider. As soon as we lost, oh, jeepers. Oh, no.
That's so New Zealand, though. It's like this really weird passive-aggressive thing when it comes to the All Blacks. It's like we always want to see a series and we want to see it competitive, but if it is competitive and we do lose, everyone's up in arms about it.
Absolutely. And so it made me chuckle a little bit because, you know, on one side, as a former All Black, I want to win all of them, you know, and the pressure and expectation to win everything is certainly something you thrive on. And so, you know, when you say, yes, I know, and I'm an absolute fan too, and I would have loved to see it, you know, as it is, which has been fantastic. But at the same time, you can't, you know, you can't have it both ways. You can't.
Yeah, that's right.
So, yeah, I'm looking forward to this weekend. I can't wait for it. And yeah, I think my rugby brain is telling me it's going to be pretty close, but my heart is telling me that I'm hoping they just destroy the Lions. And that's no disrespect to the Lions either, actually, to be totally honest.
Mate, you're allowed to back your own team. You played for them 100 times in test matches. Millsy, Jamie Wall on Rugby Pass this week was writing about the Lions fans and the fact that here we are as New Zealanders. New Zealand Rugby creates this campaign to get the crowd singing the old the Māori song, Tū Tira Mai Ngā Iwi. The Lions have taken it. They've owned it.
They've bloody sabotaged it.
They have taken that. They've got their own chance. Even Waisaki Naholo set to Seven Nation Army, which is a Forsyth Barr Stadium regular. That became Maro Itoje. These guys are great fans in terms of the in-stadium experience. Do you players really respond to that on the field? Can you feel that out there? Does it lift a player when a crowd is chanting your name?
Oh, look, it definitely does. And you know, that's fantastic. That's why they're such good supporters, to take the stuff that we've come up with, well, you know, in some sort of way, and turn it around by Tū Tira Mai Ngā or Tato Tato Lions Lions. That is absolutely fantastic. And it's not just at the game. You know, I for the first time I've ever sort of wandered the streets before the game down in Wellington, and the atmosphere and the red jackets and the jerseys down there, and just how sort of energetic they are, and they want to come up and say g'day and talk to you. I mean, that's just fantastic as supporters. But going back to the game, when you're out there playing and you're hearing your name and you're hearing chants from your own sort of country, it does lift you. And certainly I think the Lions players have mentioned it, that lifted them. You know,
well, they did. Sam Warburton straight away after the game said, you know, that crowd's their 16th man. Kieran Reid this week has come out and said, oh, look, it's all white noise to us. I think he's probably trying to be charitable to the All Blacks fans, who are not renowned as noisy in terms of games in New Zealand. But they are going to have to lift because, you know, before this series, we spoke about the very rare opportunity for these players to run out on Eden Park in front of a crowd that is almost 50% not their fans. That just doesn't happen for All Blacks very often.
I mean, it's almost 50% not their fans, but the way the noise is going to happen, it's going to be like, you know, they're away, you know. And so, you know, I understand what Rito's saying, and certainly from, you know, an All Blacks point of view, when you hear the chants like that, it can actually work in your favour, because it actually lifts the boys in a different sort of way. They want to come together a bit harder and play a bit harder. So every time they hear a Lions call, they're going to run the ball a little bit harder, or, you know, when they hear it, it's all about trying to silence them. With the Lions fans, no matter whether they're winning or losing, they're not silenced. But so I think, yes, you want to hear your own crowd. We're not renowned as Kiwis to be that vocal, so let's just stick with the music, and we can just sing along to that sort of stuff rather than creating our own.
You're such an old school guy.
Oh, mate, there's nothing wrong with when you score tries and you hear that music and everyone's sort of beaten up and down, mate, and Sweet Caroline, whatever. That's enough for us, mate. We don't need anything else.
Yeah, I can't believe you just asked for Neil Diamond at All Black Games. Right, Kieran Reid joins a very exclusive club of which you are a member, 100 Test for the All Blacks this weekend. In terms of what you see in his leadership, I would suggest that it's like Sam Kane taking over from Richie McCaw. He hasn't gone back and reinvented Sevens play. He's just taken up where Richie McCaw left off, and now he's advancing that position in his own style. Kieran Reid strikes me as a guy who's picked up where Richie McCaw left up, and he's now advancing the leadership in his own style. Would you concur with that, or do you see other things about Kieran Reid as a leader, as a player, that most of the public probably wouldn't notice?
I think, you know, Reid has done that. There's certainly similarities in what he's doing, and, you know, why would you go away from, you know, what Richie has sort of left behind? But, you know, I suppose the difference between that I see between Richie and Reid is probably the personality, you know, and Rito's, you know, very open. He doesn't mind getting beside someone, having a little chuckle, and actually, you know, giving someone a bit of stick and taking a little bit of stick himself. With Richie, on the other hand, I don't know whether you'd think that's very funny if a young guy came up to him and said, hey, blah, 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 you know, that sort of stuff. And so, you know, that there is a difference.
He's kind of humanised the leadership, right, in a way, because McCaw was put up on such a pedestal, not because of anything he did personally, but that's just the way he was treated.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's just the way he was. You know, he didn't put himself on the pedestal. It was just it just came with his personality and the way he played the game. Now, you know, Rito's, he's probably, you know, a little bit, a lot of guys are probably a little bit more comfortable going up to him, and I'm talking younger guys, the Lomapes of the world, the Geordie Barrett's, and so they'll feel a little bit comfortable with it. And so different leadership styles, but all in all, the foundations of what Richie's left behind, you know, your leadership group leads from the front, you know, you challenge each other, no matter whether you've played 100 tests or 200 tests, you know, those fundamentals are always there. You know, all you're doing now is, you know, Rito's, you know, tweaking his little things to work, you know, with his style, and his style is getting around the guys and enjoying, you know, a quiet beer with each other and giving each other a bit of stick, which is, I think, is fantastic.
You know, I was just in central Auckland on Wednesday morning, and there he was just sitting at a nondescript cafe a few hundred metres from the team hotel, just having a cup of tea and some breakfast with his brother Gareth, and it was just so personable and so down home. Yeah, you know, you're in test week and arguably one of the biggest tests of this All Black team's careers, and there he was just being a family guy, hanging with his brother, having a cup of tea, and not fazed by anything. And as he left the cafe, the hood went up, the rain was drizzling down, and he just wandered on his own back up the street. And I just thought, you know, it's a very All Black thing, that to no fuss, no ceremony, just I'm going out for a cup of tea with my big bro.